Amen. All right. Boy, sorry about the bulletin. It looks like we have a slight error. I don't know if you looked at the bulletin or not, but the cover is correct. There's a picture. There's a picture on there. I don't want to say what it is. If you've got one, you can see what it is, but we're going to talk about that here in just a moment. But boy, the songs inside and everything else are last week's. So maybe we saved money on our bulletins this week by only changing one thing, the cover. So thank you for laughing, Dick. I think you're the only one that got my... There you go. Now you're trucking with me. I don't know if you've caught that or not, but I'm one of these guys that I have to have like this interaction. Without that, if you're sleeping, I will be too. So I need you. I need your energy. I need your encouragement. Don, you're my hero back there in the back. Yeah, thank you for that. So good morning. All right. Thank you. Yes, I'm very good. You guys are warming up. Good. Dick said he got tired of the news. He made it to May. I heard others that bailed out sooner than that. Crazy. The Palers, like, Lord, have mercy. Thank you for God's watch, care, and protection, and our missionaries serving there in Beirut, and what an amazing event. And now, I hope, new avenues for the gospel to be shared, and in destruction and devastation and chaos, the light shines the brightest. And so we don't want those things to happen, but we can certainly pray that in the midst of those things, maybe many lives will be saved. People will come to Jesus. So your dollars, by the way, go to support missionaries like them here and all over the world. So thank you for your faithful giving, even during this really weird time when so many are not able to come or don't come or whatever. Our giving has been very good. You've been very, very generous. So thank you for that, and keep that up. The Lord is certainly honored in our good stewardship of the resources that He's blessed us with. I didn't plan on saying any of that stuff, so anyway, just know that thank you. But in reference to Dick's mention of like the news and where we're at and the chaos all around the world, we were shut down for a while. Couldn't come in person to worship. You joined us online. We had amazing attendance. Great worship for that season there. But for a while, we were shut down, locked at home, couldn't really go and do much. So in a PG manner, what were some of your favorite things to do during the shutdown when you were stuck at home? Eat, okay. I second that. Amen. Eat, okay. Again, PG manner. What were some of the other things that you liked to do while you were stuck at home? Read, paddle the lake? Was that what I heard? Okay, ooh, there you go. There's a spiritual answer. Yeah, Jesus, get closer to Jesus. I'm sure all of you use that time very productively to grow in your faith. But yeah, lots of activity. Anything else? One more. Okay, yep, definitely a need for splitting wood, and boy, I think that is a rite of passage here in Ely. It's amazing driving around all the piles of wood, and some of my friends just lots of wood splitting, so I think there's therapy, definitely physical health in that splitting of wood. I heard that puzzles were like a record all-time high. One of our local photographers, Eric Sherman, creates some beautiful wildlife photography, and I think he took a lot of his photos and converted them into puzzles. I heard more and more people say they started or amped up their puzzle producing, their production time during that shutdown. Record numbers of puzzles. I have a puzzle here before me. It's a box. It says... that is a puzzle. This is a real tree setting. It looks like a cool outdoor setting, and it's made up of 1,000 pieces. It says they're 1,000 piece puzzle, but if you buy this, you're not buying 1,000 pieces. You're buying a puzzle, one puzzle that happens to be made up of 1,000 pieces. I've got a cool one down here. Let me grab it. I'll show you real quick. This is one of my favorites. I love this one. I'm not a puzzle doer, by the way, but I married one, and we gave birth to one. Our oldest especially loves puzzles. If you can see that, I don't know if you can see it or not. Over here, it's a canoe. I think it's the Boundary Waters. Emily said she was young. She goes, there's a duck. there. That's a loon. That's a loon, but there's a fire and an old canoe that's super awesome. That's a puzzle put together in a frame, and now it serves in our basement by all my paddles that are on display and all of that. It's one of my favorite things. But the deal is, the point is, when you buy a puzzle, you don't buy a piece or two or three or 100 or 1,000. You buy a puzzle, and then you hope and pray that when you open it up and start putting it together, all the pieces are there. I saw, and I don't know if it's true or not, I Googled like images of puzzles missing a piece, and there was supposedly a 40,000 piece puzzle, like the whole wall back there, missing like one piece. I don't know if it's true or not, but could you imagine the heartbreak putting that together and missing a piece or two? I mean, it's like it's worthless without that piece. Well, we're still in this idea of a key club, a group of believers that make up the church, the body of Christ, here and all over the world. Everyone that has been saved by grace through faith has the keys to Christianity. And because of our unique and saving faith in Jesus and Jesus alone, we're all part of a much bigger picture, the body of Christ, the church, here locally and all over the world. So we're in this idea of what is the church. We're part of a key club, and then we've looked last week and this week at what's our role in the church. And today it's about us being the body of Christ, many parts making up one body, like a puzzle, many pieces making up one puzzle. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and 1 Corinthians is right before 2 Corinthians. If you're looking, it's in the New Testament, and chapter 12 is the one right after chapter 11. Good job. You did use your shutdown time to study your Bibles. Good. Good job. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So to set the stage real quickly, Corinth, wow, what a place. Corinth is in Greece. Corinth was a center of both Jewish but mostly Greek people. It was a very pagan, very modern society. Any type of religion could freely be practiced there. Lots and lots of just the most cutting edge, state-of-the-art idol worship, idolatry, any sin, anything goes. It was a very, very, very pagan culture, about 50 miles west of Athens on a port. There is just a booming mecca for people. Again, both Jews and Greeks living there. And the Apostle Paul went there and he preached the gospel. First, he went to the synagogues, the churches, and preached to the Jewish people. And he was pretty well shut down. He didn't have a whole lot of success in the churches. The religious people of the day had difficulty grasping that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah. So Paul switched gears. He said, that's it. I'm going to go to the Gentiles. And he began to speak and preach Jesus to the non-Jewish people, the Greeks, the Gentiles, anyone that was not Jewish. And people began to put their faith in Jesus, and the church was born there in Corinth. Now imagine the setting of this pagan culture where there's brand new baby believers in Christ. Now, Paul stayed for a year and a half. He stayed with Aquila and Priscilla. They made tents. They provided for themselves because there was no church to support Paul. And as he began to share, more and more people began to put their faith in Jesus, and the church grew. But it still looked a lot like the culture where the church was placed. And so Paul finally left and went on and planted more churches. But then he heard news back that the church in Corinth wasn't walking with the Lord in the way that would honor the Lord. They had let their sin, their former lives, creep back in, and the church wasn't looking a lot different than the culture. So Paul wrote this letter to really remind and reinforce the early church who they were in Jesus, to address specifically some of their sins and tell them to cut it out, to knock it off. Yes, we are free in Christ. Yes, grace abounds, but we don't honor the Lord or lead others to the Lord when we look like the world around us. So that's a quick synopsis of what's going on in 1 Corinthians. Lots of information there. So if you've got a copy of God's Word, follow along with me. If you don't, look at the screen. If you don't get a copy of God's Word, I love the YouVersion Bible app for your smartphones and devices. I love that one. I use the CSB translation. So if you like to follow along word for word, that's what I'm reading from. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12, Paul says, "For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." Pray with me, please. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you this beautiful morning with joy in our hearts to gather here with our church family and to praise and worship you. And Father, I thank you for your word and for this message that you have given to me and hopefully to all of us out of your word. And Lord, I pray that you will take your truth and this reality and preach it through me this morning boldly and clearly. Father, I ask you open up each of our hearts and our minds that we may more clearly understand who you are, who we are in you, and how it is that we can love and serve you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the idea for today's message is that every believer, every saved Christian can benefit the body of Christ more wholly, more completely, more effectively if we discover and realize that we are a piece of the body, that we are a part of the body of Christ, something so much bigger than us. The first kind of point to today's message, if you will, is that we are one body, just one body. Look at the first verse, verse 12. It says, "For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, and so also is Christ." Boy, I don't know, I always joke, I dropped out of medical school after only a couple years. Just a joke, I didn't go to medical school at all. Although I've made so many hospital visits, I know quite a bit about medicine and surgery and how things work and recovery and all that. My kids do too, especially my oldest. They would go with me to visits a lot of times. And I mean, they've seen a lot. But anyway, the human body is just amazing. It is so truly amazing. And I love, it drives Teresa crazy. It makes her very embarrassed. But I love when I'm in with a doctor or a nurse or someone in the medical field, especially for the first time, I love to ask them where they're at with the whole creation thing. Where are you at in faith and with creation? Because it boggles my mind that anybody in the medical field could look at the human body or any part of the body, let alone the entire body in its wholeness, and think that that just simply happened, like lots and lots of miracles over however many, whatever they tack on, billions of years, could just simply happen. So I love to ask them, where are you at with this? And you know what? I've never had anybody just be able to staunchly look me in the eye and tell me, yeah, this just is a freak. I mean, they all have to say to some degree that yeah, this was designed. I mean, the body is way too complex for it to just simply be happenstance. Millions and billions and trillions of cells making up all the parts of our bodies, all the systems of our bodies, all working together just in health and how resilient. The human body is truly amazing. And like a brilliant puzzle made up of many, many pieces, all these pieces put together to make a beautiful picture, so is the body of Christ. You and I together, born-again believers, owners of the keys to life eternal in paradise, make up one body, the body of Christ. Lots and lots of parts, lots of systems, lots of cells, lots of people throughout the ages from the resurrection and the ascent. Well, even before that, it's always been about faith. Faith in the Creator, faith in the Lord. Now it's faith in Jesus as the Lamb of God, the once and for all. Together you and I make up the most brilliant picture, the most brilliant puzzle ever put together, the body of Christ. We are one body. The second point to today's message is that we become a piece of that body when we're saved, when we give our life to Jesus. Look at 13, the next verse. It says, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink." We become a part of this body when we are indwelt, enveloped, baptized, which means immersed by the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. From Pentecost on, now we see the evidence of our changed life in the indwelling of God Himself, the Creator of heaven and earth, living inside His church, inside each one of us. I love 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my favorite verses. It says, "Anyone that is in Christ is a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new." Anyone, the most rotten, sinful person in the world, the in our eyes and in human eyes, the best person in the world, when they put their faith and trust in Jesus, equally are made brand new. Made brand new. Old passes away. We become brand new creations in Jesus, not in ourselves, in our own ways. When we put our faith in Christ, we are made new pieces of His body, parts of His body, varied people. Notice he says Jews and Greeks, wherever you come from, slaves or free, where whatever walk of life, Bears fans, rightfully, Vikings fans, potentially, even Packers fans brought together under the umbrella of Jesus, equally saved. It's hard to say that, but equally saved. Together, variety of people made brand new from the moment of Pentecost when the Spirit came down and indwelt the church. Now every believer is fully indwelt, baptized, immersed by the Spirit of God. And the outside world saw it. They witnessed it. I love Acts chapter 2 when we see the coming of the Spirit, the preaching of the gospel, thousands of people being saved, the early gathering of the church, the body now meeting together, looking different than the rest of the world, and they had favor with the outside world. Varieties of people from all over the region brought together under the name of Jesus. In Christ, we are a piece of His body. We are a part of His body. All right, I love this one. This is one of my favorite things to say in church. Hear me out before you get mad at me. I love this one. It doesn't matter what you think. I love that one. It doesn't matter what you think. Before you hate me, let me preach on, okay? I'm not just talking today. I'm preaching a little bit. If the foot, for 15, well, you know what? 14 is pretty sweet. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many, if you haven't gotten that so far. He says it again. Now, 15, if the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body," it's not for that reason any less a part of the body. And 16, and if the ear should say, "Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body," it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. So, breaking news, brilliant words from the pulpit. You're different than other people. You're different. If Mike Sibley were here, I would say he's very, very different than other people. We do have Greg in the back, he's also very different than other people. You're different. Each one of us is unique. I love those guys. That's why I can joke and talk. And Mike said he wanted credit for helping me with my sermons. And so here's his credit for helping me. He comes during the one day of the week I schedule. No meetings, no visits, no phone calls. Thursday, it's the day I do my sermon. Like I close the door, and that's the day he has to come and help me with my sermon. So thank you for all his help. Anyway, you are different. No, it's awesome. I love to sit and visit, especially with him. We joke and laugh, and he definitely sets the humor stage for my messages. So you're different. You're different than others. You are unique. You are very fearfully and wonderfully made. You're special. Many people right now, one of the most difficult parts of this whole COVID whatever is those that can't come. Those that aren't here, that can't make it, won't make it, whatever. And as I talk with some of them, I hear it time and time again, and they are lonely. Missing you. Missing this. As they are home, they are sad. They are separated from the body. They're heartbroken. Some have stepped further and further away from the Lord. They've taken this time. And it's whatever reason, they're now further away. They're less a part of the body. They're separated. They're frustrated. I hear more levels of frustration now than I've ever heard in 10 years of vocational ministry. Sadness. Even a few being a little bit grumpy. A little bit grumpy. If the Spirit's convicting you of being a little bit grumpy, then listen to the Spirit and don't be grumpy anymore. People feel isolated, alone. They feel different. They feel different and separated from the body. And then tragically, some feel unimportant. Sitting at home, maybe watching right now, maybe listening right now or sometime in the future, feeling unimportant and not necessary. Not a part of the body. And this time has definitely separated the body. It's definitely driven a wedge, and there are new levels of all the things, the negative things that I just mentioned, because as you're apart from the body, you're not a part of the body. I thought that was pretty clever, so I'm going to say it again. As you're apart from the body, you're not a part of the body. Think about that and just kind of let that sink in. It doesn't matter what you think. I don't care what you think. If you are a foot and you think because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it doesn't matter what you think. You're still a part of the body. If you are an ear and you'd rather be an eye, it doesn't matter what you think. Maybe you're home. Maybe you've just returned. Maybe you're watching now or months from now and you're at home and you're grumpy and disgruntled and sad and feel separated and unimportant and you think that maybe the SOT members are just so much more important. I'm not a preacher or I'm not leading worship or playing beautiful piano or whatever. I'm not important. It doesn't matter what you think. You're still amazing and so vital and so important. I don't care what you think. The next point is that you are vital and you are necessary. Look at 17. 17 says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? You are vital and you are necessary. Some of the pieces of the puzzle are bright. I'm afraid to open this thing. I'll dump it all over the stage. Because it's... Okay. Yeah. It goes flying. All right. Some of the pieces of the puzzle are bright and colorful. There's neat colors. There's, I know you can't really see it, but as I look down, it's just a plethora of beautiful colors, but some of the pieces are just strictly bland. They're all green, or they're all blue, or they're all black or brown, or they're part of a big piece of that puzzle that just matches. Some of the pieces are bright and vibrant, and some are dull and drab, and they don't stand out. Some of the pieces are different. Let me try to get this thing. Oh, I did it. We all are different for a reason. God created each one of us special and unique, valuable and vital and necessary. We're all different, and that's a good thing. Some are bright and cheery, and they've got parts of the sun or the sunset or a beautiful part of the puzzle. Others blend in just a little bit more, but each are vital and absolutely necessary. Imagine that 40,000-piece puzzle missing one of the pieces. It doesn't matter what color that piece was. It doesn't matter what that piece thought of itself. When you get to that point, 39,999, it's incomplete. It aches and longs for that final piece, no matter what it looked like. We're all different, and that's a good thing. This box of full of pieces, this one puzzle full of 1,000 pieces, they're all different, but they're all necessary. Everyone valuable and precious, each a vital part of the bigger picture. All right, are you ready for this one? If you take notes, get your pen ready. And I'll repeat it for you so you can catch on. Get this. I came up with this in my office. You are you ready? A precious puzzle piece, perfectly presented and precisely placed, creating a prized picture. Thought that was pretty good. Came up with lots and lots. Thankfully, there's a lot of P words, so I could draw from a bunch. You are a precious puzzle piece, perfectly presented and precisely placed, creating a prized picture. Think about that one. If you need that repeated, call me on Monday. Verse 18. But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as He wanted. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you think. Satan is having a heyday right now with the church, with believers all over. Satan wants you to think that you are an accident. Tragically, schools and colleges all over have adopted that as some sort of fact, that you are simply an accident. Chance, times lots and lots more chance, times lots and lots of time has produced you, and you're nothing but an accident. Satan wants you to think that. He wants you to believe that. He wants you to feel as though you have no value, that you are not necessary, that you are unimportant. Satan and the world wants you to think that you are not necessary, that you don't matter, and that others are more valuable than you are. All those are lies from hell. Lies from the pit of hell. The world teaches that as fact. They can't deny it. Everything just happened and you have no purpose, no hope, no future. Satan wants you to think that you mean absolutely nothing. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you are no accident. You are no accident. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and the Lord of the universe, the voice that spoke all of the galaxies and planets and everything into existence, knew you before you were ever born. And He created you perfectly and precisely just the way you are. And He loves you. And He was willing to die for you. You are a precious puzzle piece, perfectly presented and precisely placed, creating a prized picture. Each one of us is part of something so much bigger than we are. We are part of a precious picture, a glorious picture, so much bigger than we can ever imagine, so much bigger than we are individually, each one of us so vital and important. At a quick glance, we may look like a messed up jumble of lots and lots of different pieces. At a quick glance, we may look like just a box full of stuff. that you can't imagine what the outcome would. In fact, when I look at a puzzle, that's what I see. I see a bunch of mismatched pieces, lots and lots of colors. What in the world? This could never turn into anything. And thankfully, Teresa and my kids have patience. And they put them together precisely and perfectly. And over time, beautiful masterpieces are made. The crazy cool thing about us, you and I together, brothers and sisters, is that we are a group of mismatched parts and mismatched pieces. 19 says, and if they were all the same part, where would the body be? We wouldn't be anything individually and apart. We're so much better together, so much stronger together. Each one of us is a piece and a part of a masterpiece. A glorious masterpiece, and we are cut and shaped and assembled together by Jesus, by the Spirit of God, put together, forming a beautiful picture of Jesus. Have you thought about that? That you and I together are a picture of Jesus, the completed puzzle that you and I are, members individually, of the body of Christ. Together, we are a picture of Jesus to each other, to our community, and to the world. You're valuable, you're necessary, and you're essential. And I, for one, for all of you that are at home watching now or forever, I miss you, and I love you, and we need you. The body needs you. You're no accident. You are a precious puzzle piece, perfectly presented and precisely placed right here to make a prized picture. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the fact that even in the midst of our sin, our rebellion, and our distance from you, that you saw fit to love us anyway. You created us to know and love and worship and serve you. And then you have called us together here under this roof to be your body at Ledge Rock, a part of your body globally. And Lord, I pray that you would speak truth into each of our hearts and remind and reassure each of us that no matter what we think, we play such a vital role in who you are and in your work now and for all of eternity. And so, Lord, I pray as we prepare to finish up this worship service with this final song and get ready to pray and close and leave, Lord, I just pray that you will breathe a new breath of life into each one of us and speak to those that may be at home, may be feeling separated, may be feeling sad and not a part of the body, and let them know that we love and miss them and that they are such a vital part of this body. And Lord, see us through this season that we can continue together to bring glory to the name of Jesus. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.